Good evening, everyone. We're just a Thursday night, just a little bit before we read this Shabbos Parsha Shlach. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but there is a custom some people have, and there's actually a debate if this is an old custom or this is like a more recent custom, maybe the last 100 years or maybe even less than 100 years, that people who are davening and are interested in something is very important in their life. God forbid someone is sick, shidduchim, parnasa, whatever it is that the person is so much wants for their tefillos to be answered, that this custom is that people will go to the Kotel. If you're in Israel, you go to Yerushalayim, and for 40 days straight, they will daven at the Kotel, recite Tehillim. Some people will go to the Kotel. Some people will say, wherever they are, will say Tehillim for 40 days straight. I saw that some people will say Shir HaShirim for 40 days straight. Some people will be careful about not to speak Lashon Hara for 40 days straight. And in the merit of those 40 days of that intense prayer and devotion, of being careful about the laws of Lashon Hara, whatever one chooses, so in that zuchot, in that merit, God willing, Hashem will God responds, and the tefillos, the prayers, the wishes, the requests will be granted favorably. And so I want to talk about a little bit about this notion of 40 days, because there is, as we're aware, a very strong connection to this week's parsha, where the idea of a 40 days comes up. I want to show you, it's not the first place in the Torah, nor the last place in Tanakh, where 40 days is mentioned. So this week's Parsha Shlach, of course, tragically tells the infamous story, the terrible failing of the spies and the Jewish people as they're about to enter the land of Israel. They've been in the desert for a little over a year, and it looks like they're good to go. The Torah has been given, the Mishkan has been built. They just had a Pesach Sheni. And within a couple of days, it seems like it's time to enter the land of Israel. And all of a sudden, they put on the brakes and they get a little nervous. And there's a request that spies should be sent. And of course, we know the story. The spies go and they come back and they give the evil report, the bad report. And there's a whole uprising. And unfortunately, as a result of that, Hashem has destroyed the entire Jewish people. Moshe intervenes, but is only partially successful. As a result of this terrible failure, the entire generation of the who left Egypt, those 20 and above, are going to die out. Only the next generation will enter. It's going to be another, nearly 40 years of wandering in the desert. The spies themselves are killed right away. And because of this terrible failure. So the Torah tells us and describes what exactly they did in the spies did in the land of Israel, where they went, what they saw, what they took with them. And then we're told in Perek Yud Gimel, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Hey, Vayashuvu Mitor Aretz, they returned from spying out the land, Miketz Arbaim Yom, at the end of 40 days. So this entire process lasted 40 days. It was a 40-day trip. The land of a little vacation, a little spying that took place in the land of Israel lasted 40 days. And that's the punishment. The punishment is that the 40 years corresponding to the 40 days, 40 year wandering the desert corresponding to this 40 days where they to such an extent they failed in giving this a terrible report, this very slanted a report, that punishment unfolded. Now, as I mentioned, that this is not the first time that 40 days appears in the Torah. And I'm sure many of us are very familiar with the first time that it appears in the Torah. And that, of course, is pretty much at the beginning of the Torah, all the way back in Parshas Noach, in Perek Zion, Pasuk Daled. God is telling Noach about the flood, and about the Teva, the ark that he has built. That God tells Noach, you should and your family should enter the Teva, the ark, and the animals. Kiliyamimod, And Shiva Anochi Mamtil Aretz. You got a week, because in a week it's gonna start raining. And how long is it gonna rain? Famously, Arbaim Yom Varbaim Laila. 40 days and 40 nights. So for 40 days, again, this deluge is going to appear. And again, it's interesting, 40 days. Like there's something about this 40 days, some significance about these four. Like God could have caused it to pour for 2 days, and you know, poured so such intensity, the world could have been destroyed. God could have drawn it out for 60 days, but somehow it was 40 days. 40 days is the number. Now, this is not the only time that 40 days appears in the Torah. So far, you have the spies, and now we have the flood. The other very famous time that it appears in the Torah is in Perek. I think it's a couple places here, but let's look at Perek and Shmos. In Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Ches. So the Torah tells us the following. This is in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Vayavo Moshe B'Sochanan V'Yalahar. That this is right after the Ten Commandments were given. Ten Commandments were given as the debate in the Gemara. It was on the sixth day of Sivan, the seventh day of Sivan, but there's the whole Har Sinai experience, the thunder and lightning. And at that point, then Moshe then ascends the mountain once again. He enters the Anan, the cloud. Vayala har, vahimo shabar. And how long is Moshe on the mountain? Get a load of this. Arbaim Yom, Arbaim Laila. That's the end of Parshas Mishpatim. 40 days and 40 nights. So now a third time. Now a third time that 40 days appears. The spies, the flood, the rain for the flood, and the as well as Moshe being in Har Sinai. This is not a coincidence, right? There's something obviously very significant here about that. That's somehow we're trying to some message that the Torah is conveying. Something about the 40 days. And the question is what? Like, what's so significant about 40 days? Like, like in Judaism, like, there's certain numbers that are significant, right? Like, there's, like, you know, the 7 days of the week, and there's, three avos, four, you know, four mothers, 8 days for a bris, you know, 30 days a month, then Rosh Chodesh, right? There's certain days, even 50 days of Yovel, 50 days of counting towards Shavuos. But what's up with these 40 days? Right, what's the significance of the number 40? There's one more time actually in the Torah, if I got it all correct, I hope I got them all, where 40 days is mentioned. Now this one, if you get this one, you get the lottery, you win the jackpot. This one, you gotta know the Torah backwards and forwards to get this one. This is like not at all an obvious one. Not a major story. It's just it's mentioned, and that is and working a little backwards again at the end of a Sefer Bereishis, a Sefer Bereishis, Perek Nun. So again, we're really at the very end of Sefer Bereishis when Parshas Vayechi. It's right after the death of Yaakov Avinu, Perek Nun. Pasuk Gimel, Yaakov has died. Yosef cries. He kisses his father. It's very, very moving a scene. And then we're told that Yosef commands his servants to embalm Yaakov. Yeah, Yaakov was embalmed. Right? That was a practice in Egypt. And Vayechantu Harofim es Yisrael. They do that. Vayemalu lo arbayim yom. And then 40 days had passed. This was a 40-day process of embalming Yaakov. And then they cry for 70 days. The Mefarshim say that, no, it was 40 days of embalming and then 30 days of crying. Right? That we know Shloshim, right? That after someone passed away, there's a 30-day mourning period. And that we see in the Torah later on with Aaron. So that's the assumption here, that these 40 days of embalming and then 30 days of formal mourning. So now we have a fourth thing, and again 40 days, and it has to do with Yaakov Avinu. So and the fact that the Torah mentions it, like just say he was embalmed, why have to tell me it's 40 days? Like, why is that important for the story? So again, it's like another clue that something about these 40 days is significant. Now, I mentioned that the story of the spies is not the last time 40 days is mentioned. Again, there's earlier mentions of 40 days, that being the flood, now the embalming of Yaakov, and that, as well as Moshe being at Har Sinai. But there's some additional 40 days as well. And not in, well, we'll see maybe in the Torah in a moment, but if you go to the Nevi'im, to the prophets, where does it appear in the Nevi'im? So by my count, there's at least three places. And one of them is somewhat famous because it's publicly read once a year in a very public fashion, and something that we're all familiar with. The story we're certainly familiar with. The other two are not as well familiar as known. One also has to do with a famous story. The first one was a famous story is in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Beginning of a Sefer Shmuel, Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zion. There is the famous story of David and Goliath. And before David comes on the scene, right before David makes his appearance, and he famously with a slingshot kills Goliath, we're told that the Navi tells about Goliath, about Goliath, about him taunting the Jewish people, and he was trying to say who's able to fight me? I challenge any of you to a duel. And obviously everyone's petrified of him. Well, the Navi says, how long did that taunting take place? How long would that process go on until finally David showed up and volunteered? And changed history with that single shot of, that slingshot. So get a load of this. You know how long he taunted the Jewish people for? Arba'im Yom, 40 days. 40 days. Again, it's unusual that it's mentioned. 40 days, that's how long he taunted the Jewish people for. The next time it appears is in the Navi Yechezkel. Yechezkel is a fascinating sefer, and Yechezkel is often told to do things that are a little bit unusual, and there's a big debate amongst the commentaries. Did Yechezkel actually do these things, or is it just like in a vision that he sort of like imagined this or saw this? But he didn't actually physically do it. And one of these things is that Hashem tells him to lean on one side of his body for 390 days. And that's to symbolize the, and there's a debate exactly what it symbolizes, but there's something to do with Malchus Yisrael, with the Northern Kingdom, amount of years, perhaps, that some say that they sinned. And for 339 days, he has to lean on one side. Either that's going to be symbolize why they're going to be destroyed, or it's going to symbolize maybe in some level, it's going to, even though they're going to be exiled, but it won't be a total destruction because he did this atonement for them. And again, there's a big debate. Did he actually lean for 390 days on his right side or not? There's a debate about that. But then he's told to do the following. He said, and for the sin of the southern kingdom of Yehuda, I want you to lean on your left side. Get a load for how long? Arba'im Yom, 40 days. And the Mefarshim also, like, what exactly is this 40 days? Is this the 40? Some say that these 40 days, or Doc says, is the 40 years of that Menasha led the Jewish people astray. But after his father Chizkiyahu had done this beautiful, powerful teshuva movement, so Menashe turned everything upside down. I saw the Metzudas David suggest, no, it's 22 years of Menashe, it's a little bit of Ammo and a little bit of Yoyakim. Yeah, all those kings together in the years that they sinned comes up to 40 years. So the 40 years corresponds to the 40 days of him leaning on his side corresponds to these 40 years of sinfulness. Additional post the 10 tribes being exiled of the Jewish people sinning and ultimately culminating in the destruction of the first place of Mikdash. But once again, you have this notion of 40 days, right? The significance about 40 days, but it's going to lead up to the destruction of the first place of Mikdash. And then there's one more 40 days in the Navi, and this is probably, I think, the most famous one. Pay attention to the story carefully. The story that we read once a year on the holiest day of the year on Yom Kippur, in the afternoon, Mincha, right? We read the Torah and we read from Parshas Achimos, and there's a Haftarah, Maftir Yonah. Right? They like to say it's a whale of a story. The story of Yonah, right? So it's most famous for Yonah and, you know, trying to run away from God and, you know, and be swallowed up by the whale. But what's the prophecy that he's supposed to give? So the prophecy is that he's supposed to go to this Assyrian town of Nineveh, this non-Jewish city, and to talk about and to tell them, give this warning that if you don't shape up, Napachas, the city is going to be destroyed. Right? God is angry at you, and you need to. And Yonah, of course, is nervous about doing that. He's afraid that maybe some say that he's afraid that they're going to do teshuvah, and that's going to look bad upon the Jewish people who won't listen to the prophets. How long was the warning? Right? How long was the city of Nineveh given that, you know, in X amount of time, if you don't do teshuvah, you're going to be destroyed? Get a load of this. If you remember the story, Od Arbayim Yom, in 40 days. Right? He ultimately went on his mission, went on the journey. And that's the message that he gave. Od Arbayim Yom v'Nivei Nefechas. Nepecha. In 40 days, the city is going to be destroyed. So this is unbelievable, right? This is very surprising. This is very unusual. This is something that certainly stands out. You know, multiple times that 40 days appears, not only the Torah, but now the prophets as well. Again, our week, our Parsha, 40 days with the Baraglim, with the spies, and then back to Parshas Noach with the flood for 40 days, Moshe being on the mountain for 40 days, Yosef being embalmed for 40 days, and then Goliath intimidating the Jewish people for 40 days, Yechezkel leaning on his side for 40 days, symbolizing the sins of the southern kingdom of Yehuda, and now the Yonah, right, with a warning to the city of Nineveh about being destroyed in 40 days. And the truth of the matter is, you know, there's another 40 days also in reference to the story of Noah, that when does Noah send forth the raven, the first bird that he sends out? So again, it's connected to the flood, but unfortunately it's a different 40 days. This is again back in Parshas Noah, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Vav. The rain has stopped at this point. And now that the mountains have begin to appear, and after 40 days, Noach opens the window, and he sends forth the raven. And the Mefarshim assume that this 40 days is not the 40 days of raining. This is the 40 days of maybe some say when the ark rested on Har Ararat, the mountain of Ararat. He then waited another 40 days, hoping the water would recede some more, hoping now maybe it'll be totally gone. That's when he sends forth the raven. So there's another 40 days. And then one more 40 days in connection to Har Sinai. Right? Moshe is on the mountain for 40 days. And I think that this 40 days, I want to suggest, is going to be the clue to understanding all the other 40 days, including the 40 days in our Parsha, and perhaps as well the custom. Again, this custom that some people have about davening 40 days straight, whether at the Kotel or even at home, saying Tehillim, saying Shir HaShirim, not speaking Lashon Hara, whatever the case may be, that the other major failure of the Jewish people, besides the sin of the spies, of course, is Chet HaEgel, right? The sin of the golden calf, right? The major failure of the Jewish people. In that regard, and what similar to ours, there's a lot of similarities. Maybe for another time, you can compare the similarities to Chet HaEgel, to Chet HaMeraglim, and then also the response, Moshe's response. In some ways, it's very similar. In other ways, there's some significant differences as well, how Moshe intervenes. But that's for another time. But what I just want to highlight right now is if you look in that story of Chet HaEgel, so and Moshe, in terms of his his intervention, so when Moshe records how he intervenes, not in Kisisa where the story appears, but where Moshe recounts it in his final speech in Sefer Devarim. So we have in Perek Tes, in the ninth chapter of Sefer Devarim in Parshas Ekev, so the Torah tells us the following, or Moshe tells us, Be'es napal lefnei Hashem karishona. I prayed to God again. Because he had just been on the mountain for 40 days, right? you know, when he went up to get, you know, the entire to the Torah and to bring down the formal luchos, which he then of course shattered on the 40 days later on the 17th of Tammuz when he ascended the mountain. But as I prayed before, as a result of your sin, right, I had to pray before God and seek atonement or forgiveness. Karisha, so I prayed again like the first time, Arbaim Yom Barbaim Laila, 40 days and 40 nights, Lechon Lo Achalti, Laila Shasiti, I didn't eat, I didn't drink, because of all your sins that you engaged in. You did this evil in God's eyes, you angered him, and then a few psikim later, he repeats it, Ves Napalathni Hashem, Ves Barayom, Ves Barayom Laila, Shes Napalti, Ki Amar Hashem, Hashmid Hashem, because God wanted to destroy you. And so the way the Mefarshim understand this is that he went back up for another 40 days to ask for atonement, ask for forgiveness, prayed. So from the 18th of Tammuz, he goes back up. And then the way the Mefarshim understand, you got to sort of put all those stories together and all the times Moshe mentions 40 days being on the mountain. But he then goes up a third time, we understand. He went up a third time. And that was on Rosh Chodesh Elul, goes up, and that's when he comes back with the Luchos Shnios, the second tablets on Yom Kippur, on the 10th day of Tishrei. And so, again, connected to Har Sinai, being on Har Sinai, but not, and this time not receiving the Torah, but this time seeking forgiveness. So I'd like to suggest the following. To understand, you know, tie these all these stories together and the significance of 40 days. So, you know, 40 days, you know, where does 40 days come from? Right? Like, we know, like, 30 days, you know, 30 days is, there's a cycle, right, of the moon, 30 days. And there's, you know, there's in nature, there's the cycle of 30 days. Is there anything in nature of 40 days? So I don't know exactly what modern science says about this, but I do know that the Gemara assumes that when it comes to conception, that the Gemara assumes that the first 40 days of the development post conception, it's what we refer to as maya ba'alma. It's like mere liquid. That according to Chazal, again, I don't know exactly the science, but only at 40 days does the embryo really begin to take shape and take form. Whatever way that Chazal understood that form to be significant, but the first 40 days, and it actually has a halachic implications. You know, not for now; it's very complicated. But you know, in what context is abortion allowed in Judaism? And sometimes maybe first 40 days, perhaps again another time to go into the details. Maybe there's more room to maneuver the first 40 days. But be it as it may, it takes 40 days for something to solidify, to something to form, for something to be achieved. And what I think is happening here, and what the Torah is emphasizing, is that 40 days is the limit, or is the test to see if something is going to change, if there'll be an impact. If something significant, if there will be a transformation, that we're given 40 days, and therefore, let's work backwards. Let's go from the beginning of, you know, from Noach moving forward. So with Noach, the 40 days is that God needs to totally change the world, that there needs to be a complete restructure of the world, that what was cannot continue. That there needs to be a new start, a new beginning, and human beings need to completely transform the way that they interact with each other on this earth, and how they understand how, you know, their role and their place, and therefore the 40 days is a complete negation of what came beforehand. In addition to that, and that perhaps then, you know, Noah waiting 40 days. After the ark has rested, again, he needs to wait his own 40 days for him to now begin to emerge, right? For the formation of man, to the development of man to now begin once again, for him to sort of symbolize to God that now we are ready, you know, to transform the world. to engage the world very differently than we were beforehand. Perhaps the 40 days of Yosef's embalmment is also symbolizes this transition from one world to the next world, from the end of the physical life to the beginning of the spiritual life, or perhaps in a different way of looking at it, an understanding for us human beings who are left bereft when someone passes away, how to reorient our thinking in this world without the person physically being with us. Har Sinai, I think, is the most obvious of the Jewish people to become this nation and to receive a Torah that's now going to guide them and now going to lead them and direct them. It's again just 40 days. It's not necessarily that 40 days is the magic number that you're going to change in 40 days, but it's symbolic. Right? Again, based upon the development of the fetus of the embryo, that it's symbolic that a new beginning is commencing. That with this Torah, the Jewish people are not going to be the same that they were beforehand. Right? They're going to be this holy nation, this kingdom of priests and holy nations. Now with this. With this Torah, and that now symbolically, now you can begin this new relationship with God and with your fellow man, and how you interact with mankind. The Jewish people, the spies, the story of the spies is also the significance of the 40 days is the failure on the opposite end of how quickly something can be can be turned upside down. That you're about to enter the land of Israel, and you can totally go the other direction, and you're in the 40 days is how quickly things can change. Things can be done for the better, like Har Sinai, the symbolism of Har Sinai, that the embryonic change in that regard. But then you have in terms of the spies, in terms of how quickly you can fall backwards. And you can resort, fall back to your old ways. I think when it comes to the stories of Nevi'im, the 40 days taunting of Goliath of Goliath is a time period for the Jews and for David ultimately to emerge now we need to respond. Right, to recognize that this is an untenable situation. This cannot continue. And if it goes past the 40 days, then maybe we're finished. Right, and therefore you need to act before it's too late. With Yechezkel, it's similar to the story of the spies. The 40 days symbolizing the 40 years of the failure of the Jewish people after the 10 tribes were exiled, and now there was hope. With Chizkio, his Teshuvah movement, and how quickly it fell apart with Menashe and Amnon and Yoakim, that things can unravel as quickly as they can be repaired. They can also unravel. And then, of course, the story of Nineveh and Yonah is again the positive side of how quickly things can change, and that there's a possibility for renewal. And you can be as wicked as the city of Nineveh. But if you take the repentance process seriously, and you really work at it, and you have remorse, and you make a commitment, so you can change course. And what best reinforces this message is, of course, Moshe going back up on Har Sinai, Moshe pleading to God to save the Jewish people. And that message that yes, there can be new opportunities. God forbid for bad, for evil, for failure. But like we see with the spies and with the southern kingdom, the time with Yechezkel's prophecies. But there's also a hope but there's also there can be a positive transformation. That things can be very different. You can redirect. As you reflect on what has taken place, you can make a significant and very positive and lasting changes. Like, as we see with after the flood, with mankind, with the Jewish people, or Sinai, and Moshe praying for the Jewish people, in the city of Nineveh, of David HaMelech, before he's David HaMelech, but David, you know, with the taunts of Goliath. And what's so beautiful is that, you know, what's happened over our history in Judaism is that, you know, we do have a 40-day of transformation period that we have built into our calendar every year. And it mimics the Har Sinai experience. And that, of course, is what begins on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right, that's when we begin to sound the shofar. When, by the way, we're ending near the end of month of Sivan, so before you know it, it's around the corner. Right, Tammuz Av, and then just a little bit more than 2 months from now, we're going to be sounding the shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul. So get ready for your honey out and your apples. But the Rosh Hashanah is almost here. But that's a 40-day period. And Rosh Chodesh Elul, 30 days of Elul, 10 days of Tishrei, culminating with Yom Kippur, where we can turn ourselves around. We can turn ourselves around. And so to wrap it up, I think that's the sadness of this week's Parsha, right? The sadness of Parsha Shlach and the story of the miraglim of the spies is that they were on the verge of entering the land, of achieving their destiny, fulfilling the promises to the Avos. And you see how quickly, if you're not careful, things can fall apart. Right? Again, whether it's literally 40 days is not so significant, but it's symbolic, the 40 days. Something can be very different, you know, from conception for these 40 days, and then all of a sudden, you know, somehow this embryo appears or begins. There's some physicality to it that's somehow identifiable. So we in a very short period of time can be on the top of the world, and we can very quickly fall down, and that's the tragedy of this week's parsha. But on a much more positive note, and perhaps that's part of Moshe's speech at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, where he recounts the Chet Ego, but at the same time, things can also revert back in a positive way. Right? You can ascend the mountain once again, and you can turn to God in prayer, and you can demonstrate your remorse and show your willingness to make a difference and to transform yourself. And then you can be called upon by God to once again accept the tablets. And to have that 40 days of where ultimately you're forgiven. And I think that's ultimately, that's where this custom comes from. You know, and people who have this custom, you know, daven at the kotel 40 days straight, to say 40 days straight of, you know, finishing Tehillim, I think every day, finishing Shir HaShirim every day, is that I can transform myself. I can demonstrate to God that I want to make a significant changes in my life. No matter what stage I am in life, I can say that now's the time of, this is a growth period. That, you know, who I am in 40 days from now is not going to be the same person who I am when I begin. And, you know, the question is, you know, am I going to try to avoid the pitfalls of not falling prey to the mistakes of 40 days of the Ragam, the story of the spies? Or am I going to, look at the positive messages of the flood, of the transformation of mankind, and Moshe 40 days on the on the mountain, and David HaMelech, you know, getting the message of confronting Goliath, and Yonah's prophecy to the people of Nineveh. Am I going to take those 40 day messages and recognize that indeed I can make significant changes? I can transform myself. I can redirect reorient my thinking. And be in a much better place. So I think this like this 40 days is like shouting out at us. Like it's not at all a coincidence. It's over and over again throughout the Tanakh with these examples of 40 days. And again, I think each one is demonstrating transformation, not forbid in a negative direction, but also the possibility in a positive direction. And it's a message to us that we can make those changes in our lives. And we have the ability to sort of be reborn, recreated. You know, like that embryo that's being developed and take shape, we can make those necessary changes in our lives. We take the time period seriously, and God willing, we'll make those positive things, and God will look favorably down upon us. And the tefillos that we all have in our own lives, God should just respond favorably to them, and God should see our commitment and our devotion, and show that we want to reconnect with Him. And God only should grant us, you know, blessings and good health in our lives. Wishing everyone a very wonderful and meaningful Shabbos.